Preacher was right, 2 Peter 3. We want to look at the last chapter in this little epistle. It's only got 61 verses. And been in it since Sunday morning. It's not just the preacher that's been in it. Brother Bagwell, you've been in it too. Reading and studying, going through it again and again. And I'll speak for myself. I might get some amens. I feel like it's helped me going through God's Word as we have during these days. Let's go ahead and do this. One night I pursued it in this fashion. I want to get down how many chapters we've read, and then we'll get into the message from the Word of God, all 18 verses. So prayerfully, verse 9, I'll begin reading. You follow along as I do. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, you don't think of Peter being a prophecy expert, but he is. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt. Second time he's told us in this text, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, according to God's promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth, somebody say amen, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him when He comes, that you may be found of Him in peace, P-E-A-C-E, in peace, without spot, and blameless. Just one little, they've got so they use the word pericope, one little pericope out of this third chapter of 2 Peter. What is a pericope? I see some of you wondering that. Peri is the Greek word that means around, the perimeter of a circle. Peri, kope, means to cut. A pericope, you just, in that beautiful chapter, we can't cover it all. We just snip around these verses. They become our text. They become our paragraph. That's where we're going to focus tonight. I want an amen in verse by verse preaching. Just going to go through it a verse at a time. Y'all ready to get started? Notice it with me. Again, back in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Now, if I were to ask for an amen here, I'd get dozens of them, because we all believe God keeps His word. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. But something in me, and no doubt in you, wants to know a little more about that adjective. He's not slack concerning His promise. And I've looked it up two or three times in two or three ways today. And it literally is the Greek word that means slow. Slow. The Lord is not slow concerning His promise. He is not slow in keeping His word. But you see, that's what upsets the non-Bible believers. Because they say things are still going on down here like they've been going on since the beginning of this world. What do you mean God's not slow? 2,000 years ago, they said Jesus is coming again, and here we are, it hadn't happened yet. The Lord's not slow. I hope I get an amen. He's not slow if you go by His wristwatch. He's not slow if you look at things the way He does. I didn't want to get too complex tonight, but the verse before I began reading my text says something like this: a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said He's coming again. He said, I'll come get you where I am. You may be 2,000 years ago, and you're telling me God's not slow concerning His promise. 2,000 years ago, in God's eyes, smile at me. That's only 2 days, ladies and gentlemen. But then I had a thought this afternoon, I think might be better than that. I was reading a science magazine this week. It's called Astronomy. I buy one every now and then, just enjoy going through some of the articles. I can't keep up with some of it. It's beyond me. We know this. We've known it since Einstein lived. Time is affected by speed. And if you, we probably won't in our lifetimes, if you could ever travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, time ceases to exist. It is in the black holes out in the universe where a giant star has died and imploded, it come in upon itself. And that motion is so very, very rapid as everything contracts. It begins to go in at speeds approximating the speed of light. That's why I call it a black hole. Even light can't escape that momentous pressure and that activity that's going to, they say, at the edge of the black hole. Listen to me. Time is no more. It no longer exists as we know it. Time ceases to be. I can't keep up with it neither. It just taxes my ability to reason. But I am going to make an announcement. When we get in heaven, when we get up yonder, enjoy the glory of God, when we gather in around His throne, I'll promise you, time will not matter anymore. God's not old. God's not young. God is eternal. So I'm just going to stand up here and preach this verse just like it's written. God's not slack. God's not slow. God's not retarded. God's not sagging on keeping His word. The word slack can mean inactive. God didn't rest all day snoozing in bed because He's give out and tired. God's going to do what God said He's going to do. He's not slack concerning His promises. Does anybody here really believe Jesus is coming again? Does anybody here really believe that the blood washes away sin? Does anybody really believe the tomb is empty? Promises of an Almighty God, and He's not slack concerning a one of them. God's not slack concerning His promises. Now watch. The word promises. Interesting word. It is based on the little Greek noun angelon. Or really, I guess the teacher would say it angelion. It's the word angel, just souped up and pronounced a little differently when it comes into... And the word angel is best defined, listen up, as a messenger of Almighty God. That's what angelos means, a messenger of Almighty God. Hey, there's an angel named Gabriel, 2,000 years ago, came to earth, found a little virgin girl named Mary. Could I get a little help here? And boy, did he make an announcement. My, what a message he brought. God is coming to earth. God's not slack concerning His promises. God's promises is not something He's got to cross His fingers and say. It's not something He's got to say five times before it takes effect. If God says it, if He announces it, if He makes the statement, hope I get a little help, that is a promise in God's eyes. He doesn't have to word it verbally like it is a commitment or an oath. He said it, it will. God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. God's not slack concerning His promise. But, let's see. What else? He's long-suffering to us. He's long-suffering to us. As men count slackness, the Lord sure is taking His time coming back again. As men count slackness, God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, but He hadn't judged Europe and He hadn't judged America. We're doing the same thing there. God's slack, they're saying, concerning His promises. Here's why God hadn't judged America yet. Hope I get an amen. Because He's a long-suffering God. I'm glad the first time I found out I was a sinner going to hell, I'm glad He didn't end my life. I'm glad He didn't kill me and let me go where I deserved it. You know what He did? He gave me a while to repent. Hallelujah. What's it called when He gives you a while? It's called His long-suffering. He's long-suffering to us. Listen to that word. And I can't do this with every word. Y'all know how I start slow. I just can't do it. But it's the word macrothumia, long-suffering. What does it mean? Macros means long in a linear sense, long time, long way, long space. Thumia, or thumos, is the root. It means anger. It means to get so tore up and upset. You're fixing to do something. You're about to unleash your wrath. If God wanted to, I don't know if I'll get a single, He could wipe America off the map tonight. But you know what's held up His anger? Do you know what's retarded His judgment? What is it that's made Him long before long time? Before He expressed, it's His long suffering, and I'll tell you what, it's an expression of His love, it's an expression of His grace, it's an expression of His mercy, and every one of us ought to say hallelujah for it. He's long suffering to us. I got to get out of this verse. Not willing that any should perish. Does anybody believe that? Not willing that any should perish. The word any, it's tis, T-I-S, little old Greek part. It just means anybody. Man, woman, boy, or girl, not willing that any should perish. Looks like a not willing, willing. It's a thelema is the noun, and fellow is the verb. It means not wanting, not desiring, not hankering, not longing for. I'm going to make an announcement. Somebody enjoy. God don't want nobody to go to hell. God wants people to be spared of hell. He wants it so bad, He allowed His only begotten Son to die on the cross that we don't have to go to hell. Hello. Not willing that any should perish, but that, and we've read it already, but that all should come to repentance. Now I know you cram that down my throat. You can say, well, that might have been what He willed, but it didn't happen. There are multitudes of, yep, but everybody that's dead and in hell, it's not God's fault they're dead and in hell. But that all should come to repentance. Hey, let me give you that word, repentance. It's a neat little word. Metanoeo. Let me say it again for my sake. Metanoeo. What in the world does it mean? The noeo, that's the little word nous. It's your mind. Your mind. Here is repentance. What it literally means. One day I was running from God. One day I was on my way to hell. One day spiritual things didn't matter a hill of beans to me. But the Holy Ghost showed up, got the working in my life, convicted me of my sin. I trusted, I believed, I got washed in the blood, and I'm not going that way anymore. Hallelujah. I turned around, and now I'm going this way. Could I get an amen? I have repented. Change of mind with a resultant change of behavior. That's what it is. Anybody here repented also? Thank God. By the way, if you're saved, you repented. That's right. That's just a few thoughts. That opening verse, we got to get to verse 10. Peter wants to talk about something called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Now, if we were in the Old Testament, that'd be Joel. He likes to talk about the day of the Lord. Paul's fond of talking about the day of the Lord. John's the exponent. He's the expositor of the, what in the world's the day of the Lord. Now, and you'll get some divergence of opinion from different men of God, and they've all got truth in what. The day of the Lord is probably an inclusive term. The emphasis for the day of the Lord is judgment. Let me see how you take this. He's coming back. He's coming back again. And this time He's not coming back to die for sinners. This time He's coming back to judge. The day of the Lord. But I think I need to say this primarily. If you're going to get real precise, I believe the day of the Lord represents the tribulation period. That time of terrible, terrible worldwide suffering and torture and agony and war and pestilence. But preacher, the way Peter's worded it here, the day of the Lord's going to begin for you and me, get me an amen ready, when He comes to call us home. Hallelujah. Anybody in this building believe in something called the rapture? Now that's another thing that's not preached like it used to be. The rapture. Here's the first thing you're going to hear. I heard it just 2 weeks ago. Well, that word's not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the English Bible. It's in the Greek Bible. I'm sorry, scratch that. It's in the Latin Bible because it's a Latin concept, but it's not in. But it doesn't have to have the word rapture for my New Testament to teach me Jesus is coming to get His church one of these days. Now, why do we call it the rapture? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God. Are y'all with me so far? And something about the dead in Christ. What does that mean? The dead, talking about the bodies of the saints who have died. Not talking about the spirits of the saints who died. Because the instant they die down here, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the dead in Christ, those bodies, when Jesus comes in the air, the dead in Christ, Paul said, shall rise first. Shall rise first. Are y'all all right still? Somebody asked me, why are they rising first? I'd answer that. They got 6 feet further to come. They got to get a head start. They're rising first. And Paul said, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Anybody still believe in it? Caught up together. The Greek verb is harpazo. It means snatched away. It means grabbed and extricated from this old terrible, He's coming to get us, ladies and gentlemen. But in the Latin Vulgate, a Bible translated from Greek to Latin for the Roman world, a fellow named Jerome did the church. To be caught up, to meet the Lord in the air, it's their verb rapio, R-A-P-I-O. It means reach down, grab, and get them out of there. Rapio. And rapio, the verb, I'm going to need a good amen. I've taken 3 minutes to do it. That's rapture, the noun. Hallelujah. It is a Bible truth. The day of the Lord is a-coming. But what's going to happen here on this earth when the church is caught away? Excuse me, but it ain't good. What do you think will happen? All of a sudden, worldwide, every believer is carried to meet the Lord in the air. We're the light of the world, folks. Jesus said we're the salt of the earth. What happens to a place if you take all the light out? It gets dark. What happens to a place, especially before freezers? What happens to a place if you take all the salt out? Salt preserves. Things begin to rot. Things begin to decay. There will be, when the church is called home, a period of time, personally I believe a 7-year period of time, called the tribulation. Then the great tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble. It's what Jeremiah called. There's coming a time when God will be hated. An antichrist will rule the world. God's people Israel become the target of hatred as never before. There's going to be a tribulation down here. The day of the Lord. I didn't know it was going to take this long in this verse. Well, I guess it's all about over then. Well, that's what the Antichrist would want. That's what the God-haters would desire. In fact, that tribulation ends, according to Zechariah, chapters 12 and 13 and 14. With the nations of the world marching against the little city of Jerusalem. The little nation of Israel. And preacher, they're going to push her into the sea. They're going to destroy that land. They will say, Psalm 83's got their words. We'll fix it so she'll be a nation no more. And in the middle of the battle of Armageddon. When the world thinks they're finally going to get rid of that crowd that brought Jesus down here, virgin birth, that crowd of Jews that gave us the Word of God, they don't believe it, but they gave it to us. And guess what's going to happen in the middle of it? The Jews are going to get... I'll tell you what's going to happen. Are y'all all right? Behold, a door was opened in heaven. This is Revelation 19. And John said, I'm looking up there and I see a white horse. A white horse. And he said, he that sitteth thereon, I don't think John knows for sure who it is yet. He said, I believe I see a crown on his head. Nope, said, I believe it's more than one. Said, I see crowns upon his head. Those are diadems. I wish I had time to preach that word. Said, whoever he is, riding a white horse. By the way, to ride a white horse in antiquity, that means you were a conquering general. That means, thank God, I'll take an amen, you're going to win the battle. And it gets closer and closer to earth. I see a sharp two-edged sword. I believe his vesture's dipped in blood. I believe I see his name on his thigh. King of kings, Lord of lords, here he comes. This time not in the air, but all the way slap back to this earth. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? The day of the Lord. What's he going to do when he gets here? Well, I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to make mincemeat of the devil, the beast, the false prophet, the antichrist. Them boys going to wish they'd never seen him. And then, I never dreamed I'd get into all this. And then he's going to set up in the city of Jerusalem and rule and reign on this earth. I'm going to need about four amens. 1,000 glorious years. King Jesus sitting on the throne. There'll be a time of peace. Won't be no war in those 1,000 years. Men will beat their swords into plowshares. They will beat their weapons. There's going to be peace. There's going to be goodness. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Hey, well, at the beginning of that thing, the old devil's locked up. He's bound up. He's got no liberty. Jesus. They always talk about the last world ruler. Will it be Obama? Will it be the end? I'll tell you the last world ruler. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just put in a real quick announcement right here. We're on the winning side, folks. The day of the Lord. You think I have forgot 2 Peter, don't you? Well, I hadn't. I just had to stick all that in there to get to my next clause in verse 1. Now, the day of the, verse 10, day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, look at this. They're going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned it. Y'all believe this is in the Bible? Seeing then that all these things are going to be dissolved. Boy, it's quiet in here. I just left my little panorama of Bible prophecy. Jesus is on the throne. Rules 1,000 glorious years. And John says in Revelation 20 something, it's hard to understand. The end of that 1,000-year rule of Christ, they let the devil out of prison. And he comes to earth and scours this globe, trying to get folks to rebel against the darling Son of God. Hope you're still listening to me. And the devil, he finds a crowd who'll help him rebel one more time. Y'all acting surprised. He does. And he lays a rebellion against the Son of God. And preacher, this time he's coming after the Lord. He believes he can overthrow the Lord. I just want to tell you something right now. So far the score's Jesus 10, the devil nothing. Holler amen. And I want to make another announcement. Devil's not going to win this one either. He will be overcome. He will be conquered. This time, lake of fire, bottomless pit, eternal suffering forevermore. And Jesus... Are y'all still listening to me? But then, in Revelation, John wants to talk about something called a new heaven, new earth, New Jerusalem. A lot of new things coming down, looks like. You say, well, what's going to happen to the old earth? What's going to happen to the old heaven? I just read you. The elements are going to melt with the fervent heat of the Lord. God's going to send a conflagration, a fire on this universe like it's never seen before. He'll burn her to a crisp. Hope I get an amen. And He will recreate her. Hallelujah. Are y'all all right? No, Brother Bagwell. You've carried us on a lot of year journey, and you have really... You talk about science fiction. That just makes it all sense. I've told you what the Word of God teaches tonight. As best I understand it and as best that I can comprehend it. All right, now let's just take a time out. If these things are so, and they are, reckon it ought to affect how we live. If that God's that big and that great, He can handle not just my problems and yours, not just the churches or the counties or the states or the nations or the universe. If He's that great a God, I reckon we ought to love Him. We ought to adore Him. We ought to bow before Him more than we ever have before. Well, I got to get out of the 10th verse. You can see the heavens will pass away. Look at that. With a great noise. A great noise. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe God knew about nuclear power before the Manhattan Project ever started. Elements melting. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot make an element melt in the laboratory. You cannot, a Bunsen burner will not do it. An oven doesn't come close. In order to make an element melt, you've got to know about something named atoms. You've got to know something about nuclei, protons, the neutrons, electrons, and you got to figure out a way to split them. You got to figure out a way to fuse them together. I'm pretty sure that kind of information is property of Almighty God the Creator. I don't need to be going here, but in Zechariah, in the ending chapters of Zechariah, this comes when Jesus comes back again. It says men's flesh will melt and flow off their bodies. Their eyeballs will liquefy and roll down. There's a lot of heat there. There's a lot of damnation there. Hear me and hear me well. When He comes back, the day of the Lord, He's coming to judge. Now that ought to be enough on that. Let's finish the thought. In verse number 11, seeing that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What manner of persons ought ye to be? Then he has three qualifying thoughts. If all that's true, what manner of persons? I looked up that word manner. It's rarely used in the New. Here it is. Behold, what manner of love He has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. What manner of, same word. And it means, now what manner, how are we supposed to live? The word manner means this. I want an amen when I tell you. Something from out of this world. If God's that great a God, that big a God, He's got every bit of that figured out, ought to live a life tapped into His nature, His glory, His power. We ought to be living out of this world tonight. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? Oh, I got to preach this in a hurry. Holy conversation. That noun conversation doesn't have a thing to do with nouns and verbs and adverbs. Don't have anything to do with talking. It is a quaint Greek verb, anastrepho. It means how I live day in and day out. How I behave myself, what my deport. He said if all this is true, we sure ought to be, amen please, living for God. Holy living. Different kind of living, set apart living, sanctified. Not I'm better than all the world living, but down here loving them, wanting to win them to Jesus living. What manner of persons ought we to be in our conversation, in our holy conversation? And watch, and godliness, and godliness. The word godliness, preacher, same word for godliness that we had Sunday night, faith, virtue. Here's what it means. Reverence, respect, worship for our King of Kings. If we really believe the day of the Lord's coming, with all those events I have feebly tried to describe, we sure ought to be living godly lives, and we sure ought to be godly. We sure ought to be worshiping our Savior. Deep down in our, that's the message 2 Peter wants to leave with us tonight. Let's go further. Y'all talk to me, and you've done so. I told Deb how much I've just enjoyed talking with you this week and fellowship and spending time around the Word of God. I really do mean that. I'm asking, be honest with you, are y'all still okay? Some of you got a little quiet. I don't know if that boom got to you a minute ago when the world blew up or what it was. But I want you to stay with me just a little bit longer, if you will. Verse 12, looking for, hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Man, it goes the day of the Lord. The day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. Oh, I want to preach that. The heavens on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to His promise, we look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. The old earth, it'll be destroyed. The heavens, tainted by sin anyway, they'll be done away. But there'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. There'll be a new Jerusalem. I want to make an announcement. I'm going to be an inhabitant of that one of these days. I'm going to live forever with my darling Savior, the Lord Christ. And we're going to live in a world, amen, please, of righteousness. I don't have time to develop it, but I will say this. When Jesus is a ruling and reigning, when we're living in that, when that environment of righteousness, they won't be killing babies in the womb anymore. And I'll tell you something else. Men won't be marrying men, and women won't be loving on women either.
And I'll tell you something else. Homes will stay together. Little children will be loved. I'm telling you something else. God's people will be honored. Jesus, they won't go around cussing God every day. Makes me want to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Would you ever thought a fisherman would come up with this kind of stuff? Has to be the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? Touching him and inspiring him. Verse 14, isn't it 14? Wherefore, beloved, ah, Peter loves them, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. I got to stop right there. He is using a very rare verb, you look for such things. Preacher, he uses it three verses in a row. Extremely unusual. To look. It means to anticipate. I tell you what it means in country, to look forward to. Sort of got the idea, I can hardly wait. Oh, has a little bit of tinge of this. Hope it's today. Now, you just respond however you feel like you need to. Is anybody looking forward to Jesus coming again? Would it be all right with y'all? I don't know when he's coming, but if he chose tonight, would it be all right with y'all? Would it be all right if we didn't get through with this sermon? Would it be all right if he just lifted me out of this church pew right here? Does anybody love your bridegroom tonight? You say, well, preacher, I'll have to think that over. Your blessed pastor, sweet man of God, over there, he's a quoting it a minute ago. It is the last prayer in the Bible, and it goes something like this. It fits right in here real well. Get me an amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're looking forward to that thing. Paul got to writing over in Timothy. He said, I'm looking forward to it so much. He said, it's a blessed hope. It's a blessed. As somebody prayed back just away tonight, preacher had him pray. And he said, thank you, God, for the hope. Thank you, God, for the hope you put down in me. We do have hope tonight. Hallelujah. Obama is not the answer. Biden is not the answer. Senate and House are not the answer. Jesus is the answer. NATO's not the answer. OPEC's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Let's see if I can finish this verse. We look for such things. Be diligent. Oh, Peter loves that word. Be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace. I got to ask it again. I'm sorry. Anybody here still believe Jesus is coming like it says? Then be diligent. Be diligent to be found of Him when He comes. Doing three things. That's how I'll end up doing three things. Be diligent to be found of Him in peace was one of them. Be diligent. Had it Sunday night. Listen to it. Spoudai. What does it mean? Spoudai. It means be diligent. But it means be diligent in this sense. And I'm just going to throw together some loose definitions. Give it all you got. Did y'all hear that one? Give it all you got. With every fiber of my being, pouring my heart into... Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to amen. We got a lot of lazy Christians in America anymore. We got a bunch of us. We've been saved by the grace of God. We're on our way to heaven and we know it. But we've sat down on the old stools of do nothing. We're not doing much for God. We ought to get up, rebuke ourselves, and get busy living for the One who loved us and saved us. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent to be found of Him. The little verb there, to be found of Him, it's eurisko. It has a little bit of an H sound, eurisko, but it's just in spelling, eurisko. What does it mean? It means somebody's searching. It means somebody's looking for you. It means somebody has come back with you in mind. And they're not going to leave until they have found you. Malachi put it this way. Said he's coming back one of these days to gather his jewels. I got good news for you. If you're saved, you're a diamond. You're a ruby. You're an emerald. You're one of his precious ones. Be found. Be found of him. I know the Lord wasn't lost, but understand. I found the Lord. I got saved. Greatest day in my life. But I'm telling you what, God looks down here and God just said, I'm glad I found you. I'm glad I saved you. I'm coming back to get you. God don't make no junk. Could I get an amen right there? If you're one of His creatures, you're precious in His eyes. His darling Son shed His blood to get you saved. He's going to come searching for you. He won't quit till He finds you. Be diligent to be found of Him. Turn to the end of verse 14. In peace. In peace. The word is irene, Greek word irene, in peace. Because of time, and I am watching my time. We've already counted. That was a good move, Brother Bagley. Be diligent to be found of Him in peace. Here's the way I want to put it. The Lord says, don't be fussing and fighting when I get there. I'm not letting y'all off that easy right there. Don't be fussing and fighting when I get there. I don't want no fussing and fighting going on at the house. I don't want no fussing and fighting going on at the office. I don't want no commotion going on at church. I want to come and find you at peace. Irene. If you know anybody named Irene, her name is a derivative, a direct derivative of that Greek word Irene. It means peace. Peaceful. What does Irene mean? Watch it just very quickly. Iro, E-I-R-O is the verb. It means that two things that were far apart. If you get it, this will be quicker. Two things that were far apart, and God's done figured out a way to put them together. God's in heaven. I'm on my way to hell. He's holy and I'm filthy. But because of Calvary, Jesus and the blood, thank God me and God have met. Hallelujah. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Y'all all right? Be at peace. Y'all have got it. You're so blessed here. Such a sweet atmosphere. Every church is not like that. There are churches where there's gossip going on tonight. There are churches where the man of God's under attack tonight. There's churches when one group can't get along with another group. There are churches where there are little cliques acting on other cliques. And it's a mess. God said, I want to get rid of all of that. You better be loving one another when I... Oh, what a motive to be in peace. There was another one. Not only be at peace, into verse 14, without spot. Without spot. Aspilos. Without spot. I got to do this quick, preacher, so... And it's probably not the best way to do it. But does anybody remember last night? Without spot, we live in a stinking, putrefying world. Do the best you can to live without spot. If you're saved, you're already wearing robes of righteousness. You just want to get there without spot. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 7, I don't know why this thought's coming to me. Isaiah 7. Where God gave Isaiah to give to King Ahaz. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That great, Isaiah 7, 14, that great prophecy of the coming virgin birth of our Lord. Jesus coming to die for us. This, I don't know if you ever noticed or not. God told Isaiah where to go to give that prophecy. He said, go down by the fuller's field. F-U-L-L-E-R. Go down by the fuller's field. What's a fuller? It's a dry cleaner. It's somebody, hope I get an amen, who knows how to get the spots out. Can I run that by you again? You mean the first announcement back clear of the virgin birth of Jesus was announced down there where there's a fella who gets the spots out? Could I make an announcement myself? I know somebody that can get the spots out. Hallelujah. Hey, we ought to try to live as pure and as godly and as holy as we can. And when we do get a spot on us, we ought to go to the cleaner. Hallelujah. Without spot. One more word. And is it blameless? And blameless. Blameless. Now watch this. Live in peace with each other. Without spot, you can see if I got a spot. Preachers have to be careful with their ties. You eat, and I don't know what salad dressing's got against ties, but they do. It'll get. I can see Debbie now working on my tie, cleaning on my tie. There are ways. They don't have ways of doing that. And if I got a spot, you'll see it. Peace with everybody, without spot that my neighbor could see. But now this blameless. Everybody. That's peace. Deals everybody. Spot my neighbor can see it. That is blameless. Means deep down in here. I might know something's wrong, something's out of kilter, something's not right, but blameless means even if it's hidden and nobody else will ever know, I'll take an amen, I still want to deal with it. The glory of an almighty God. You might not see it, but He'd see it. I never thought about it, but those three things right there, that's a revival sermon. If you don't know the truth, be at peace with one another. Clean up. Get all them spots off of you. And then examine your heart. Try me, O God. Search my heart and clean up when nobody even knows there's anything wrong down there. Well, what in the world would make a man do that? Why would a woman want to go to that extreme? That's fanatical. I'll tell you what, the day of the Lord's on the way. Jesus is coming again. I won't even tell you what I wanted to do. I wanted to get that far and then get them last two verses over there where Peter says, now don't fall, don't trip, be steadfast and grow in grace. I'm not going to preach that, I just told it to you. Grow in grace. Me to you, preacher to congregation, I've just about fallen in love with you spiritually this week. Share it in the little book of 2 Peter. Now what we've learned, let's take it, go out these doors, I'll need an amen and I'll quit, and live it. That ain't a quitting amen right there. Take what we've learned from 2 Peter, what we've gleaned from reading and hearing, and go out those doors and live it. To the glory of God.